All right, we are back and live, and tonight we are talking with True North Paranormal, John and Karina, correct?
That is correct.
That's right.
Awesome, awesome.
Don't try and say the last name, because you pretty much sound like you're sneezing every time you do, so.
Well, I don't have them up here, so I'm not sure of your last names.
No, it's all good. It's all good, man.
So anyway, so basically what I start out with is this one little question that, so people who don't know you or haven't seen your site or anything, so they, you can kind of tell them about yourself a little, and then we'll go from that. So what got you interested and started in the paranormal?
Why don't you take that one first? I'll go second. Okay. Ladies first.
Since I was really young, I've always been interested in things that are strange and things that you couldn't see. I think it helped that my parents kind of liked horror movies. And then as I got older, I started having my own experiences. And then, you know, life got really weird after that. And that's how I started.
Cool.
Mine's not that cool. Well, it is.
Well, mine
cool.
Wasn't that cool.
Yours is cooler than mine. Go. My, at least you had, you know, some idea of what was what, you know, me, well, to this day, I'm still not sure, but I guess my grandfather passed away in my case, and he was like my hero. Like, you know, my parents divorced, I had my grandfather, and he was Papa, and that's all there was to it. So, you know, when he passed away, it was obviously sad and traumatic, and, you know, my grandmother lived in this big two-story house. So, you know, fast forward a couple of weeks after his passing and the funeral and everything, and I slept on the second floor of this big house with my brother. We shared the same bed. My brother sucks that way. I was coming down the stairs, and as I hit the flight of I made it down to the landing, turned the corner, and I watched my grandfather pass at the foot of the stairs, and I lost my crap, started crying, and, you know, went down to see if I could find him, thinking I dreamt everything, and he was gone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from the time I was a little kid, I was always that kid that wanted to learn more. And I was picking up books, and I didn't want to go to Disneyland, dude. I'd bug my mom to take me to a haunted house. Like, that was my thing. We go somewhere haunted. And, you know, I discovered Ed and Lorraine Warren, and I read a lot of their works. And, you know, I credit Lorraine a lot to how I am, Ed and Lorraine, because they kind of showed me it was okay to be interested in the paranormal. Mm-hmm.
That's right. 5 years old, I wanted to actually live in the Amityville house. I didn't care. I was 5 years old, and it was my dream.
You're bonkers.
I still do.
That is kind of cool and funny. But, you know, I'm just the kind of person myself that I nothing really fazes me anymore. I've been around this so long and have been dealing with it for so long, I'm jaded to it.
So you almost do, right? Like, yeah. I know that's one question we get asked is, you know, what's it like? And it's like, you know, for any investigator who's been doing it for a long time, it really doesn't freak you out anymore, because you're so, it's almost like you become immune.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm personally scared of the dark still. I'm still working on being strong that way. I don't know why, but it just makes me very uncomfortable.
It's because you're a medium.
I don't know.
You know, I'll tell you, when you're the youngest of seven, growing up in a small house and having to share rooms and everything, and being the youngest of seven, having all the other six of them picking on you all the time, and, oh, I don't know, putting you head first down the laundry chute, putting you in a dark closet and locking the door so you're in there by yourself, can't reach the light switch.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of become a little jaded with a lot of things, and you learn to not fear the dark.
Yeah. Being just strong.
Oh, my Lord. This is her thing. She's always, I'm going to be strong this investigation. It's funny, because me and my producer, we bugged Karina and Denise. When we filmed, Karina followed by Denise with the camera. And mm-hmm. Dean and I watched the girls, and we watched them on the CCTV just to make sure nothing's happening behind the scenes. And you watch Karina, and she'll find, like, the slimmest little path of light, and she'll walk through the slim path of light to avoid the dark areas. It's so funny.
I know what's in there.
Well, then. You gotta be able to go in and face it.
Mm-hmm.
I know, that's why I'm trying to be strong. See, that's John's job. He can face it. I can tell you what's over there, but he can go do it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the favorite places you guys have been to do your investigations?
I'm taking this one first.
Yeah, go.
I would say Hell's Gate was probably one of my favorite for activity. Like, the stuff we experienced there was just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
It was, and the best part was getting it all on camera.
Yeah. Like, you know how sometimes on movies like Paranormal Activity, you see crazy crap going on? Like, mm-hmm. and you know it's fake, right? Because it's a movie. But right. Witnessing something like that and actually getting it on camera, which is what John's referring to, is like insane. It's like, wow, that was just like what I see on TV, but it was real. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, I love when we can catch stuff on camera and EVPs, because that gives me authenticity that it's there. Especially when we got an EVP and a camera going at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And the audio matches up to where you've got the same anomaly on both audios.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, and it's the best part for me, and we actually experienced it at Hell's Gate. Now, to be clear, it's not some demonic evil place. It's a narrow passage of water along the river, and it's a deep spot. So what was really cool is the Class A's we were getting some Class A VPs where we were hearing something sighing, and it was just like, wow, like, you know, when it's time to go.
You were hearing that without the
disembodied voices, I think.
That happened to me, actually. I heard
amazing.
In one of our investigations last Halloween, I heard what sounded like somebody exhaling really heavy and loud.
Yeah.
And we had my EVP, my camera, that stationary, and Joe's camera. We had that with us in filming. My daughter was using it.
Molly,
the one that's over here on our thing, her man were there, because they're the ones that set it up for us to go there. But I caught the same audio on all three devices.
Oh, man, that's
awesome. And I was able to verify that it wasn't an XL. It was somebody whistled.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, no, those are always great when you get those, like, really audible Class A's and you don't need any piece of tech. It's something else.
There's the other half.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Molly.
Hi, guys. Yeah, for instance, I remember walking down the street once. It was like I was just walking down the sidewalk, and all of a sudden I heard a voice really loud right in my ear. Like, and you know, you must have had that happen too. And you look around, there's nobody around. There's no cars. And you clearly heard a voice right next to you, like somebody was standing next to you. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, I've had that happen. I've been home by myself with nobody around, knowing that there's nobody around, and actually heard someone call for me from a different room.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And those are the times I never really, you know, I never had an EVP going or anything like that, because during that time, I wasn't into the investigating part of this. So, So where is Hell's Gate located? Because I was kind of curious. I've heard that a couple of times.
Hell's Gate is it's actually in British Columbia here. It's about three and a half hours.
Yeah, it's just north of Vancouver, BC.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's got this crazy evil sounding.
It's a tourist attraction. But it's a tram. You take a tram over a big canyon.
Yeah, so it's only 500 feet down, and then there's no way in or out from that area. And it's so isolated, and I mean, it got the nickname from Mr. Fraser.
Oh yeah.
He said that going through this particular area along the river, because of its depth and how ferocious the water was mm-hmm. like being next to the gates of hell. So it got the name Hell's Gate.
Okay.
Well, nothing cool about fire and brimstone, but
no, right. I was just kind of wondering, because I've heard that name used a couple of times. From other investigators. But I know, like Joe was saying too, it depends on whom you're speaking with, because there are different areas throughout the world that are called Hell's, that are nicknamed Hell's Gate. Yeah,
that's right. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, this one, Hell's Gate Air Tram, is the actual full name.
It's a beautiful destination for tourists.
Tourist trap.
Yeah, a tourist trap.
That's right. Got one up there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on, guys. Would you not want to stop by if you saw Hell's Gate on the highway? I'd be like, dude, I'm going in there.
Yeah, possibly. But the thing is, would I be disappointed when I show up and see what it actually is?
Well played. Well played.
Mm.
You know? I can say we definitely weren't. Like, it had a lot of reports of activity, and in fact, Ghost Hunters International was there.
Yeah.
So we were the first Canadian TV show to actually go there, and we were there for four nights, and it was just, or three nights. Was it four nights?
I think three.
Okay, but it was intense. Every night was intense. So.
And they have good burgers.
Sorry about that. So, what kind of EVPs did you guys capture there?
We got the couple.
I know you're saying Class A's, but.
Yeah, we got a whole lot of sawing, and geez, there was a few ought to get out. I know we got a pretty clear get out. That one just sent chills up our spine. Now, just to kind of talk about the get out part, there's this really nasty entity they call Edward there, and we believe it was actually Edward. He was nasty the whole time we were there. So what else did we get? I think that was pretty well it for the Class A's.
But the physical stuff, there was a lot of physical stuff going on. Things being thrown, a lot of things being thrown.
Rocks.
Rocks, and did you ever find out what that was?
It was a
chunk
of
wood?
Yeah.
Like,
it was scary.
Now, are you sure it wasn't a Bigfoot throwing those things?
I would love to say it was a Bigfoot. you know? But no, definitely not.
Yeah, no.
I wish.
Yeah.
The Sam Squatch.
That would have been kind of a twofer for you guys then at that point, wouldn't it?
It totally would. Like,
maybe not a Sasquatch, but maybe an alien.
Oh, he's going for the hat trick here. Look at that.
Well, that's the thing with Joe and I. We cover it all. We'll cover every part of the spectrum for this. Because I have my beliefs and I have my stories.
Yeah.
All of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of what it comes down to. You know, there, a lot of people should do that where they're, you know, they're driven by that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird...
I think a lot of people are driven by the fact that being a human being the creatures that we are, we're inquisitive. We want to know what's
everything.
There. We want to know everything we can learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So besides... What's that, Joe?
You take it in like a sponge.
Well, yeah, we are kind of like sponges.
One input.
So besides Hell's Gate, any other places come to mind?
Your turn. Where's one of the ones you've loved?
Okay, Sandon, BC is the most scariest place that I personally have been in. I do compare this house to the Amityville house because the activity in the middle of the day actually had us, there was a series of events that happened and I actually ran out of the house, and it was the middle of the day and there's tourists walking by, and it was just so surreal, the entire incident that happened in Sandon.
Sandon was nuts.
And I can't really talk too much about it.
No, you can totally talk about it.
Oh, because the episode's not out yet.
No, season one's getting thrown together. We got greenlit to give some highlights. It's
okay. Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay, what should I say? There was something so nasty, and we had like five different cameras, six different people in the house, and different parts of the house, and there was such a loud boom. Nobody could pinpoint where this boom came from, but yet everybody had it picked up, and everybody had a different idea as to where it originated from. There were things being shown on the floor. There were nasty things on the floor going on at the same time. What else was going on?
Well, it was kind of like, okay, so the chain of events happened when you said something happened. My Melmeter took off like a shot, like my Milligal spiked, and it was crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. In the end, I felt not safe to be in there because it was like whatever was there was nasty. And I think the gist of it is because we crossed a couple of child spirits over, this entity that was kind of keeping them there was very angry. And we're actually, can we talk about going back?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah. So
they just heard it though. So
no, I know that you have restrictions. We've been there before. So
yeah.
I'm not the type that will actually pry if I hear something that's like, oh, I'd like to hear that. No, I'm not going to try and pry it out of you. So
No, there was a lot of cool things like that. Fort Steele was another good one.
Oh yeah, Fort Steele.
Fort Steele, we encountered quite the playful entity.
There was a lot of, it was like a whole ghost town. So there was something going on in every part of this whole town. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I noticed that you guys are on Paraflix now.
Yeah.
So I know that that's why I said that I know that you have certain restrictions.
We're on Paraflix and Amazon Prime US, Amazon Prime UK. So yeah,
that's cool.
True North is global.
So anything prior to Paraflix that you can talk about then?
Well, that would be part of season one. So season one's going to be coming out on both Paraflix and Amazon. So, I mean, we can talk about some of the highlights from season one. Absolutely. Wow, I couldn't talk there. I apparently can't speak English. Je parle français aujourd'hui.
Yeah, I'm lost there too.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. No, we can definitely talk about some of the highlights.
Yeah. Another thing I'll say about that house in Sandon is how you guys went there the next day and the house felt completely different. Like
it was calm.
It was calm, and I almost didn't believe it because I mean you walk into this house and you could tell that there's something there, and then it was like a beautiful spring day the next day.
I wouldn't say it was a beautiful spring day.
I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. It's really weird.
Well, you know how some spirits are, don't you? They like to have the people around there that show the fear.
Yeah.
So if you're in a situation like that where you're bleeding out fear,
yeah,
those spirits will actually glam onto that and eat it up, especially the malevolent ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The benign ones won't mess with you as much.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to be strong, especially because if I even sense that something a little bit nasty is there, it's like I hesitate going anywhere in that dark corner.
That's what Dean and I are for, though. I mean, like your job is the psychic medium of the show, right? My job is to go into all those dark, scary corners. And
I don't mind you bringing me into it in the middle of your stuff, because then I can tell you exactly what's going on. And I feel stronger when you're there.
But she will take the lit path. Even if it's dark, it'll be a little lit. She will walk that path.
She'll go where the darkness is the lightest.
That's right. It's totally Karina. It's so funny.
It's okay. It's all right to be that way. Some people totally have to do that.
Yeah, I mean.
Myself, I'll actually sit in a dark room with all the lights off and talk to myself.
See, and I used to do that when I was little. I used to do that on purpose when I was little. It's like I used to be much more brave when I was younger.
Have you guys ever come across like what they call shadow people or the solid entities that you can't see through?
We have not come across shadow people personally. We've got reports of unfortunately, in the cases we've worked on, we were able to debunk what it could be.
John had the opportunity, and it sucks that we had no camera on it, but John actually saw a full-bodied apparition, and he described it perfectly, you know, just like they say on TV, you know, it's really bright and glowy, but there was no camera on it, so that sucked, but he saw one.
It happened quick.
Yeah, it happened quick, but still.
Yeah, I didn't know what that, honestly, I didn't know what happened. I was like, wow, what did I just see?
I was jealous.
So you guys don't sport the body cams?
We don't typically wear them, no.
Those things are actually getting better in quality and cheaper in price.
The big thing is the IR, right? So, I mean, we got to have the IR. So, if it has an IR capability, then
they have
to look into it.
They have a bunch of them out there. I've seen a couple on Amazon that have the IR and shoot in 1080p.
Nice.
That'd be great. Yeah. I know our production.
And they're under $40.
Wow. They're
not bad. Yeah. Yeah. Our production cameras are all 4K. And then, I don't know. We haven't really explored the whole body cam thing.
Yeah, there's so many things on our list. There's so many. They're
constantly evolving.
And technology is always coming out with something new.
Well, technology is always advancing even more and more every day. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like tomorrow, first of the month, they could, you know, they could have been in works for the last 4 years to improve, say the battery. To where it'll last 10 times longer, and then actually release it tomorrow and say, hey, this is what we've discovered. This is how we've built it. Brand new battery lasts 10 times longer than the normal battery will.
Oh, would that be nice or what?
Oh, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. I totally get it. I love the concept because, I mean, how many times you go to turn that flashlight on, you're like, oh, come on.
I got one here to show you.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
See this one? But this one is an ultraviolet light.
Oh yeah, we got a couple of those. Those things are great.
I got a pair of those from Amazon for around $10.
Hmm.
For the pair. Wow. And they're actually really nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, no, they actually work. I mean, you don't want to shine them on sheets or anything, but
you never know what you're gonna find.
Yeah, yeah.
They're great for picking up blood stains.
That's right.
Shine them on the sheet and it's all covered with, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, right.
Splatter.
Yeah, no, those things are cool. I like the concept of them. Same with full spectrum. The full spectrum lights, those things are great too.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. I was looking on your Facebook page and it looked like you had some actual plug-in. IR lights, or are those something different?
Plug-in IR lights. I'm trying to think of what you might be talking about. We have so much gear. Like Paranormal Electronics has set us up so well for filming.
I don't know.
Let's see if I can bring it up. I'll let Joe share it.
If you can find it, I'll know exactly what you're talking about. We have IR floods and IR bursts. Saluting. Oh, are you talking like our rechargeable? No,
not that one. Sorry about that. Wrong one.
It's all good.
I'll find it. It must have been the other one.
It'll take them about a week.
Oh, it does not, Joe.
Trying to think which ones it might be, because I know we got our signature here, at least.
No, it did it again. Same one.
Hmm.
You know what I'll do? I'll do it this way. Oh, man, it's not going to do it. Shut it down on me.
Are they blue? Blue with a
I'm not certain of the coloring.
All right. If it's blue.
There they are. Got them. Pretty much, yes. Joe. These lights. They got this little blue border on them.
Those are actually part of Thunder Boy's gear. Yeah, we will use that for interviews. Dean.
Okay, so these are just standard lights. They're standard LEDs then?
Yeah.
And they have dimmer switch where it can go really bright or really dim. And
yeah, those are just standard lights. I wish I could say that those are like huge IR lights. And wait, they are cool IR lights. Yeah.
That would be cool.
It's just I've been for the last year looking for that size of IR lights so I can have always have one running and set up my camera for stationary.
Hmm.
No doubt.
Thought maybe I got lucky and seen something like that from you guys and you could tell me where you got them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely going to drop that to our sponsors.
Yeah.
I mean,
what kind of equipment do you guys like to use though?
She doesn't really use much of the gear. It's typically
I use my head.
I like using my Melmeter and you know, the FLIR. Just a lot of gear has flaws, as we're all aware of. Even things like SLS casting, you know, IR shadow, stuff like that, easily fooled. So my Melmeter, I kind of like various temperatures and, you know, EMF in the room. Dear Lord, you name it, we got it.
I like the FLIR because I like visual. So I like things like the SLS and the FLIR, and I like visual. The sounds, I'm not a fan of the Spirit Box. God bless you, Spirit Box, but you're so annoying.
I think it's great.
I think it's obnoxious.
What else is there? Shadow Tracker. That's my other favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Shadow Tracker is a new piece of tech that John just released.
And that EMF pump.
Yep. Mark's just floating over there.
I'm ordering some water.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
My girlfriend's in the living room, and I figured I'd holler at her because I forgot to fill my other bottles up.
Oh, yeah.
I have a filter.
Yeah. Well, water is great when you're doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, Joe's sitting there shaking his head because if you go to cut him, he would bleed green. Fluorescent green.
No, my.
Not because he's an alien, because he drinks Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew is good.
Nobody agrees with me.
It is. That used to be my favorite.
Hey, that's fine. I like Mountain Dew, but I got to watch my sugar intake.
Oh, yeah. I hear ya.
So what other places have you guys gone that you like?
Dear Lord, let's go over season one. We can totally bash it. Everything is going to be coming out for season one. Powerhouse Theater was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Theaters. There's something about theaters. Hey?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Basements are misunderstood. I know that. But basements, theaters are something else.
Basements are definitely misunderstood.
Now, with the theaters and stuff, do you have setups to where you use like an EMF detector to make sure that there's no EMF transmissions from the
backstage
area?
Oh yeah.
The first thing we do actually is we'll do a full sweep of the entire building and we'll check EMF levels, and you know, if there's a high EMF, I mean, the first thing we'll do is document it, you know, because that's a probable cause. One thing about True North is we're very science based. Our producer and the owner of Thunder Boys is also a biologist. So he's got his degree and, you know, he applies the science to everything, you know, so we are very science driven. So we rule out before we start. I mean, we go in with the mentality that a place isn't haunted and it needs to show us that it is.
Right. That's pretty cool. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, how many people do you know that just want their house to be haunted? It's haunted. You know, what was that? That's an orb. It's dust. Unfortunately, no, that's an orb. argument.
See, that's another thing. Okay, how do you know it's an orb, or how do you know it's dust?
Dust has a nucleus in it.
If there's a middle, that's it. It's dust, right?
Dust will have a nucleus. It always does.
Yeah, and then it has kind of like a furry outside because it's dust.
Okay.
But if it's all light, then you could look at it again.
You look for light sources and make sure it's
because it could be lens flares. I've come across a couple of things a couple of times and I'm all excited and we find out, oh, it's a lens flare.
Yep, and you can get lens flare from low light area types, or you can get it from the highlights.
Yeah.
It just depends. And it depends. I think it depends on the angle as well, which direction the light's coming in. And if it's bouncing off of anything and stuff like that, you can get some really weird effects.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Prisms are probably one of the most coolest ones to see. I mean, it's nothing paranormal. We all know what they are. It's like, oh, my God, look at that. That looks so awesome.
Yeah.
Why can't that be paranormal?
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Another location. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so the people, you know, have you ever seen this a long time ago? I don't know if you've ever remember when we had like the Polaroid cameras where you know, have to shake the picture and wait for it to be developed, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I remember people getting all really excited or upset because they didn't understand it then so much. They'd say it's an omen or something, but you'd see flames in the picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember
it's
that.
Like a sun flare.
Yeah.
You know, you're positioned just right when you took the picture, and you got this like glare or sun flare just right, and it made it look like flames in the picture when it was developed, like natural fire.
You know, like, they still have Polaroid cameras that you can connect to your cell phone, and they're just tiny little Polaroids that come out, but they have them still.
Oh, my Lord.
No.
Anyway.
Oh, I was going to mention.
I got to quit playing with my computer.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, go ahead.
I wanted to mention another location where I had quite a scary moment was the Sasquatch Inn. Where, you know, the girls were sent in into the restaurant, and mm-hmm. I guess they had taped up a bunch of menus.
Yeah.
There were menus taped up, and I guess they were very well taped up, and they shouldn't have fallen down. And they were starting to all fall down, and I freaked out. Remember that?
I remember that.
And then I thought, oh, the tape is just letting loose. The tape is just letting loose. It's okay. And then you guys were like, oh, no, those shouldn't have come down at all.
So did you get any of that on video?
Was it?
Oh, yeah. No, we got a bunch of
videos. Yeah.
And when you watched the video, did you look to see if it looked like that there was pressure on the menus pulling them?
I don't actually recall looking at them that closely. I don't think we even got to editing that yet, so I haven't even really looked at that.
I
can tell you what happened, but, you know.
Well, that's just one of my things. When we do our investigations, I try to debunk stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of my
scientific, you know, and thinking with a little common sense, you know. I mean, we go out looking for cryptids, you know, because like Mark said, we're open-minded to anything. UFOs, cryptids, you know, hauntings, whatever. Anything paranormal, unexplained, we're going to look for answers. We want answers. We're curious. But, you know, you go out, the first thing you do if you're going out looking for a cryptid is what? You got to familiarize yourself with the wildlife in the area.
Yeah. You know,
that's common to the area. One, you're going to run into mm-hmm. it. You need to know if you're going to run into any predators because you're going to have to protect yourself. You got to be safe. Safety is a priority.
That's right.
Go out. But, you know, you got to know some of this stuff. So then you got to know the difference between what you're looking for and what's there.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power. It's the best adage ever.
True. True. So, yeah. When you guys do your investigations, do you only do buildings or do you actually do like cemeteries or areas out and about?
We try to do a lot more commercial buildings. That way we know it's a lot more contained. Okay. You know, the trouble with doing residences and outdoor locations is you can't control the area. Either it's impossible to control contaminants and stuff like that. Whereas mm-hmm. when you're in a building that's a commercial building, you know, we'll use Fort Steele, for example, even though that was a large ghost town. There was literally a total of 7 people in there every night. And you knew this. Mm-hmm. So anything that happened, it was completely contained. It was in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, you know, commercial locations are probably the best. Though we still do help people in their homes. We just don't bring the cameras.
And even the other night we were live, we were in a cemetery, and you picked something up on the SLS.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. In a cemetery, like I never.
Well, you know, with the SLS cameras, I'm still kind of not certain about those.
You do have to debunk a lot because I actually thought we had something in our living room and it turned out to be our rocking chair. So you got to do that.
Yeah. So I'm like, but I did see this YouTube video. I think it was YouTube or it could have been on Facebook, but someone posted. They got this brand new Tesla, and you know how Teslas have the radar on the front of them and the back of them for people, pedestrians. So it tells you that the pedestrians are around you.
Yeah.
Well, someone thought it would be kind of interesting. Set up their camera, film that big monitor that's there, and drive through the cemetery.
Oh, wow.
With nobody there in the cemetery.
Oh.
And they were getting hits on the screen of pedestrians walking in front of them.
I think you told me about that. I saw that. I think it was that.
See, that's kind of like, I know the last live thing we did that Karina's talking about, I was getting nothing on our SLS, and then out of nowhere, this thing's standing there, and it kind of dropped into the ground. It was the weirdest thing. It was like it went back and laid down in its bed. That's the best way I can describe it. I've never seen that
And
before.
It's weird because, I don't know, when it comes to cemeteries, I don't ever expect to find anything, because why would anybody want to hang out in a cemetery if you're dead, right? So it didn't really make sense to me, but I guess you never know the instances where that might be the case, I guess.
I'd do it.
Well, we've done a few cemeteries ourselves. We actually, one of them that we like, and we did catch something on the audio part of our videos that we did. I had my camera running. Joe and his wife had hit their camera running, and we were at opposite ends of this cemetery. What was that, Joe?
The first time there was a strange night to begin with.
Well, right, but that was the second. That was on our second trip there. And there's a good probably 30, 40 yards between us. And you can hear me on my tape, on my video. It was a cool night, so my nose was running a little bit. So I, did one of those where you just kind of sniff a little. And then right after that, it sounded like off to my right, like something growled.
Ooh.
And then I'm like, oh, that was kind of interesting. And I kind of heard it, and I asked my girlfriend if she heard it. And she didn't. And then when we were viewing the videos, because they started theirs about almost 10 minutes before I started mine, right around the same time frame it would have been, with them being like 30, 40 yards away from me, they caught something similar.
Wow.
Which was, it was really weird. And yeah. I mean, it's up on our YouTube channel for anybody to take a look, and you can debunk it if you want.
I'm going to take a look. Now I'm all super curious what you guys call it. as the investigator, oh, my God, that's cool. I want to see it.
Well, the other time we were also at that cemetery, we were out there, and it was like 11, 12 o'clock at night, and the cemetery is in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, there's a corn. There's cornfield around.
It's nothing but farms and cornfields. That's it, and woods.
Yeah.
And just to touch back on the part where we heard that growl, we also heard it. I heard it when we were leaving, like it was coming from the other side of the street.
Well, see, he heard it when we were leaving, but I never did, which was weird. But it's Eagle Road Cemetery, and it's our second investigation there.
But the first time we were there, like I said, at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, middle of nowhere, it was a flyover. And I caught it the best I could, because it's kind of hard to film a jet going over, at a very low altitude. But the thing we can't explain is there's not much of an airport anywhere near for that thing to be taken off.
No, the nearest airport to where that cemetery is only big enough to handle a Cessna or Piper Cub. It's not big enough to handle even a Learjet. And it's a private airport. Wow. So, and this was like a passenger jet type that came over. And it was, I'd say it was only about 500 feet off the ground.
Holy crap.
500-600 feet. Joe got video of it. I couldn't get it, but you can hear it plainly in the
we heard it coming before it got there
in the video.
I was able to prepare myself to try to catch
it. That was our first night out there.
And that was our first night out there, and it was, and the strangest thing was it was 11, 12 o'clock at night, and the biggest airport, one of our bigger airports in the Madison area, that one usually planes stopped coming in at midnight. you know. So a lot of things didn't make sense about that night.
Yeah.
I think that was that's tied to the land. Something was protecting the land. It was something really old, and it has something to do with the land there.
It could possibly be. I mean, it on the end of the cemetery I was at, there's a fallen tree, a pretty good sized fallen tree. And it's right along the fence line. And it actually sounded like it came from around that tree. But since I wasn't on their end of the cemetery at the time that that came through on theirs, I couldn't tell you exactly which direction it came from. And I don't believe either Joe or his wife, said they heard it prior to me finding it on the tape.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
It is kind of interesting.
How sound? It's weird how sound travels in the paranormal world, because a lot of people hear the same things, and they all describe it from coming from a different direction. Mm-hmm. And even sitting in my living room, I hear weird sounds, and you cannot pinpoint where it came from. It's just there.
Yeah. Joe. Your daughter's being loud.
Not my fault. She's being stubborn tonight.
Oh, it's a puppy.
Oh, here we go.
Her blood Siberian Husky, and she's very stubborn and very spoiled. She's
very vocal.
Old, and her name's Timber Joy.
Oh,
beautiful dogs.
Pure white, mostly pure white.
Yeah. Well,
she's not a typical.
My puppy's a pit.
Oh, yeah.
She's a quarter. My puppy is a quarter Labrador and three quarters pit, and she's in the living room right now with her mother. So.
I have a question for you. You often have spirit wanting to talk to someone watching you live. Can my family pass to be in England and communicate with me?
That's a you question.
And you know what? If weird things happen like that all the time, I'll be watching the news, and all of a sudden I'll get a flash of what the newscaster is going through at home. It's like, really? It's just weird, and you never know when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. It's just, it's weird when it does happen. But yeah, I'll be watching TV, and all of a sudden I'll get a memory or a vision of what this actor's going through in real life. It's weird. There's no rules.
Do you ever get visions or things like that to where you feel that you're capable of actually communicating with the person that you're getting it about to let them know what's going on? Or do you get it to where, to like you were just saying there, like you're watching TV and you see like an actor and you start getting visions about that, knowing that you can't? Does that bother you too, or?
No, I just ignore it and move on. I mean, every day there's something weird that goes on, and you just learn to just move on. Yeah.
He had to move the camera so you can see this puppy.
Yeah, I saw the puppy.
Oh, I missed it.
That's okay, I didn't.
Oh. I hear him.
No, geez.
And now she's being loud again.
I hear puppies.
She had an encounter outside. Mm. Now she's got to go back outside and check her lawn. But, you know, we don't want that encounter to happen again. So,
when
the person's gone walking their dog back home, you know.
So, anyway. since we've got Joy making all this noise and everything, do you ever get a sense in places where that maybe there was an animal past, the spirit of an animal that might be looking for its owner?
Yeah, I have felt animals, actually. We were filming at a location in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and I felt this cat walking like through my legs, and I just sensed it wandering around me. And nobody knew this. Like, our producer didn't know this, John didn't know this, but he found out that these people's cat had just passed away. And nobody even knew this, so...
You didn't tell that properly.
Oh, okay. Well, you tell it.
I found that out. It was me that she said that to.
Oh, okay.
And I found it out literally as you were setting up to start filming, so I didn't even have time to tell Dean.
Oh, okay. That's how it went down.
Yeah.
But anyways, this cat was jumping around everywhere.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in all your investigations you've done, have you ever caught picture on video of animal spirit?
No.
No, not animal.
Nope, not animal.
Okay. I think
I'm just wondering, because a lot of people say that the animals don't leave a residue, and I believe they do.
I think they do as well. We've had family members in our family that have had pets move on, and you know, in the morning you still hear them pattering down the hall, and I think it's quite a common thing.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, if they were part of the family, they still, you know, they just want to let you know that, you know, they're still there. They're not completely gone.
Yeah, and the reason I believe it is because we had, when I was younger, we had a German Shepherd that was, she was very much a part of the family. And she would literally, when she had a litter of puppies, me and the other children, me being the youngest, I have two nieces that are within probably a year of me, and two nephews, which are probably within 4 years of me. And we'd all just literally go out and play with the puppies and crawl all over her. She wouldn't even bat an eye.
Oh, yeah. Nice dog. Aww.
And when she did pass, it was a violent one because our neighbor thought he was going to be a smartass and shot her.
Oh, geez.
So, yeah. And I know for a fact that I had sensed and seen her around the house for at least a week after that.
Aww.
That's sad. I can relate, man. My shepherd was the same thing. That actually just tugged on my heartstrings. Like, yeah, I had the shepherd, and my son Justice was little, and she was great. I mean, I trained her, so if you broke in, nice dog, she'd go after you and pin you in the corner. Is the best trick, I swear it was. But she got hit by a bus. I lived on a really busy street.
Oh.
And she ran out chasing a rabbit out of the yard, protecting her home.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this bus hit her, so I literally watched my poor dog die in my arms. It was sad.
That sucks. I've actually had something similar happen, or I've had dogs over the years. And I'm a dog person, period.
Yep.
And I don't care what breed it is. They could be any breed, except for the ones that you can drop kick over a fence. I don't like them.
They fart.
I like the bigger ones. But yeah, I've had one get hit by a car, and they actually had it die in my arms as well. So I know where you're at with that. And it's
terrible, man. As soon as he said sad. You, yeah, I was like, oh my God, Cody, I miss you.
Yeah. So
I only lost one dog, and he was my best friend.
Aww.
Right there.
Oh, he's humongous. He was humongous.
No, that's actually trickery of the camera. He wasn't as big as he looks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that picture makes him look huge.
Joe's kind of sunk in the couch. He's
85 pounds.
Aww.
So he was. He's only considered a medium dog. He was a purebred Siberian Husky. His name was Nitro.
Aww.
And he passed away when he was 9 years old.
Aww.
Yeah. But he had a wonderful life with this guy, and he was spoiled just like any other dog.
Oh yeah,
that's the one thing. I know we're supposed to be talking paranormal when we get off on animals, and I love it.
You know what, it happens. It's the way it works out, right?
Yeah.
Hey Dale. So, you got any places in the future that you're looking to get into?
We can't talk about those yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me rephrase the question.
Okay. Yeah.
There we go.
What's on your bucket list to get into?
Oh, Lord. I can do London. That. Okay, you've got the tower. I have the Amityville house, of course. I also, what's that place in Pennsylvania?
The Amityville house in New York.
Have you guys been to Centralia in Pennsylvania?
No.
Do you guys?
We haven't been out of Wisconsin.
But isn't the, I have to.
It's where they got the idea for Silent Hill.
Now, isn't Amityville in New York?
Centralia?
No, the house. Amityville.
Oh, Amityville. Yes, it is.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I've heard of that's an abandoned town because it's got the coal mine fire under it.
Yeah,
and it's still burning.
And it's still burning.
It's not completely abandoned, toxic, by the way.
Well, no, but the gases are so toxic that if you stay there too long, you could get sick or die.
Okay. I think the population is 8.
Yeah, you want to take like some kind of
mask.
Like a Geiger counter type thing with you to measure the.
You don't need a Geiger counter because it's coal and it's burning coal. It's not.
Yeah, but there's something to measure the toxic air that it's putting off. The toxic
air. You need the meter for the toxicity of the air.
Place a lot. Okay.
But if I remember correctly, there are still people living in that town.
I think it's eight.
There's a few people that refuse to leave their houses. And it's still one of those places that pisses me off because you got these little bastards that have to go out there and decide to tag the place with graffiti.
Oh.
All over the streets now.
Graffiti, that's awesome.
It's like going to, I see it when we go to places like we've got this really, really, it would be a gorgeous place to go if it wasn't for the tagging that was done there.
Mm.
You know?
That's sad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes when I see that stuff, I'd like to catch those little farts and make them eat that can.
Yeah.
Train cars or something like they used to. You know, that's a little different. But, you know, not nature itself. That can't be fixed or repaired.
No.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take that back once it's done. You can repaint the side of a train car if you have to.
Or a building.
Yeah.
You know, but doing that to nature.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, I see Dale says that the fires in the coal mines are still burning.
They've been burning for like quite a few years, like 50 plus years or something. It's well over 50 years now. Gotta be. I know the documentary I saw on it was like 5-10 years ago or something. And they said it was
like John said that. That town is actually the inspiration for the video game Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Right.
It started out as a video, you know, it started out as a video game. Video. They call it Silent Hill, and then they made two movies of it.
That's right.
We're big Silent Hill fans over here.
Hey, I like the movie. The movie is actually pretty
good. One of those places that's on my bucket list if I get out that way.
Yeah.
It's got to be the Tower of London for me. I got to get in there.
Stonehenge. I want to go camping at Stonehenge and Mount Shasta.
Okay, what's that have to do with Mount paranormal Shasta investigation?
Have you guys been to Mount Shasta?
I've been past it. I haven't been up to it or anything. I know that it's right. Mount Shasta sits right on the border of Oregon and California.
Mm.
And if I remember right, Mount Shasta's in California. It's right on that.
That's like where you're from.
That line. No, that's northern. Mount Shasta's in the northern.
Oh, I mean, but out in the West Coast area. Hold on.
Yep. But you know, he knows the rules. He's supposed to answer it on the air. I don't know about him.
It wasn't my phone to answer.
Oh, then why is her phone in there?
She should have taken it out with her. But it's sulfur oxide that coal's given off.
Dioxide.
That's
sulfur dioxide. Oh, goodness.
Smell like a big barbecue. That would be great. Like good old hibachi.
Throw a few steaks, shrimps.
Yeah. Straight on the pavement, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know.
If yeah.
Fry some eggs. Throw some eggs down there.
Yeah.
Fry them up.
You can have silent breakfast.
Silent Hill breakfast.
That's right.
Silent camping.
But no, she said Stonehenge, and you said what's all about paranormal of the Stonehenge?
I was trying to give her the gears.
Stonehenge,
man.
Is magical.
She gets all excited. I was like, she does this thing where I'll start talking, she'll bang and cut me off, and she'll start going on her tangent. I'm like, okay. I guess that's the part of being the wife, you know. Or,
oh well, you know, it happens.
Yeah. I'm used to it. I really am. I could be like talking about something else, and she'll bang shiny. You know.
So what were your places, John?
Oh, she's. It literally is one place, the Tower of London.
Oh, the Tower of London. One day, man. I think that would actually be an interesting one to be able to go to.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I've heard stories about that too.
Well, yeah, you see what was she? I can't remember her name, but you see her walking around without her head.
Isn't it Mary? Wasn't her name Mary? She was like the queen of like Henry VIII or something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what her full name was. It's just you're completely brain farted. I'm so in love with that location.
Isn't it? Oh God, it's like Mary Queen of Scots or something like that.
Queen of Scots does sound familiar.
Huh.
Yeah, all I know is you think of
that is going to bother me too. Now, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Once we're off air, I'm going to be on my phone googling this. Yeah. I'm just saying. Like,
I found another one. In Eastern Canada, there is a headless nun in Halifax.
Oh, yeah.
And they actually have ghost tours.
Interesting.
Going along. Where it's in Nova Scotia, I think. Miramax or something.
In all my years living in the United States, I've never been out of the United States. I've had the opportunity to go down to Tijuana, and I never took it. And I've never been up into Canada, and I've never been overseas anything.
To be fair, though, you guys have so much to see in the United States. Like, I don't think you could be a citizen of the U.S. and see everything it has to offer in a lifetime.
No, not really. Unless, of course, you're a truck driver.
I mean, I grew up here in Wisconsin, and when we started this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and started actually digging into the history that was around here, all the paranormal history around our areas, I was shocked at how much there was really, I didn't know. And I grew up in Wisconsin. You know?
Yeah, wow.
I love Wisconsin, by the way.
Here.
I'm a transplant.
And I should have known more than I did. I still kick myself for that. But we've got it all. I mean, you've got UFO sightings. You've got Bigfoot. You've got Beast of Bray Road. You've got all kinds of cool stuff here, and we just barely, you know, got started with any of it. So, you know, going out
barely scratched the surface on it,
and just outside of Wisconsin really has. I've got a lot of places on my bucket list I'd love to get to after talking to all these wonderful people we've had on, like you and, and our past guests and stuff. Hearing some of these stories from some of these other places, they just make you, oh man, I gotta get there. That's bucket list, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of places I want to go. I want to go to Michigan, you know, down to Gettysburg. I mean, Dale's told us stories about Gettysburg time and time again. And it just makes me want to go more and more and more, you know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, I can say the same. I know there's places in the States that I just
love
to get into.
Yeah.
I actually have one of my fondest memories was in Milwaukee. My life memories, just for the record. I love Milwaukee. I have this love for it. It'll never die. My band was playing the Milwaukee Metal Fest. It was an epic time.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of places around Milwaukee too.
Yeah.
There's one we want to get back to.
One of the
Seven Bridges.
you know, Seven Bridges Park, mm-hmm. and then there's the that there's like a thing that came out not too long ago, the top seven most haunted bars in America, and one of them's in Milwaukee.
Huh. Wow.
Made yep. that seven list out of all the 50 states. They picked seven, and one bar out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, made that list.
Yep.
Hmm.
I wish I'd have known that when the band was touring. I'd have been wow. in like a big chart.
Huh.
Yeah, we're touring to Milwaukee. Yes, I'm going ghost hunting. Never mind the guitars.
Yeah, we do have some people that we interviewed earlier on when we started this. They host the Ghost Walks. They have American Ghost Walk tours, and they have one that's up in Milwaukee, one here over here in Madison, and where was the other one, Joe?
Can't remember where the other one was,
but I know the one in Madison goes around the campus up there, and we found some interesting stuff out about the UW campus in Madison. One of the places that's built up there, one of the called Bascom Hall, built on top of Bascom Hill, which used to have a cemetery on it.
Oh man,
yeah. So
as you do there,
it's pretty interesting. a lot of really cool, interesting history in the Midwest like this. So,
oh yeah.
Well, it looks like we're getting to that time, I think, and just want to know if there's anything else you guys want to plug.
What do we want to plug? I think we plugged it all. We've got our sponsor in there. We got
Paranormal Electronics.
Absolutely.
Which John now has Warren, North right? America.
No, that launches. Oh. See, you're doing it again.
Sorry.
You're doing the thunder thievery. Paranormal Electronics North America launches on the 1st of June.
So you got a month.
That's right. A month till the new Paranormal Electronics store launches.
And shopping around, they actually do have the best prices.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's check them out.
For sure.
Absolutely. No, just thanks for having us. Like I say, I think we got, we talked about everything that we should have plugged. So, I mean.
Yeah.
You know.
And you guys are fun. You're like an old married couple.
Oh, great. Thanks.
I've heard that one before.
I bet. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah,
my wife and his girlfriend is one that got us started doing the podcasting thing because we had them in stitches in the back seat when we took a 3-hour drive to get my white little girl there that you saw, that little puppy.
Aww.
He was the chauffeur to take us to get her. And we cracked them up so bad. They said, like, we should have had cameras back here and recording this and put it on YouTube. We would have been making money off of you guys. And
that's funny. Yeah.
There you go.
3 years later, still going at it.
That's right.
Later. Whatever.
All right. Much.
Anyway.
You guys take
anything, Joe?
I think we're done.
Okay. Thanks again for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
And just a quick little note, though. This is mine and Joe's last show for a couple of months because we're going to try and go out and hit the road and do some investigations.
Good job.
Awesome.
So we're taking it a little easy until Joe gets a bug going and so he wants to go back on.
We might come back on for an open mic night once in a while.
That's
awesome.
But we're definitely wanting to get our butts out there and do some investigation.
Oh, sure. Man, I've been locked up way too long.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys just make sure to stay in touch.
We got two or three investigations in all last year.
Oh
man, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
I think it was three total.
Yeah.
Oh man. Should be like a 2021 thing where you guys are like, we're going to quadruple that this year.
And 2022 is going to be even better.
Well, we've got some big plans this year for some locations we're going to. So we're actually going to go out of state for possibly three locations.
Nice.
Awesome.
Well, keep in touch and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
We'll be following for sure.
Yep.
So, thank you.
Thanks again for joining us, and you guys have a good night.
You too. Take care, guys. Thank
you.
Remember, anything's possible out there.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to check out True North Paranormal, people. And I'm going to close it.